Okay, we're going to get started. The scripture this morning is Philippians 2, verses 19 through 24. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news for you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with the Father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. It's the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you? Before we get started, I just want to say several of the men and I did a little re-roof on the food bank, and it was such a blessing to work with such hardworking men. For those of you who missed out on that, every Saturday there is a fellowship for the men where they meet and talk about God's word. It's not for the faint of heart, however. This last Saturday, they actually managed to break the leg on the sofa. Okay? So you're welcome to join them. It is a really good time of fellowship every Saturday morning, 7:30. So this morning, today's message is prompted a little bit by my own thoughts of becoming a Christian at the age of 37 and reading God's word. And God's word is very clear, but sometimes we can read it and not actually understand what it's talking about. For me, reading, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Or what does it mean to live is Christ? Today's message, we're going to talk about having a model that helps us sometimes understand what we can't fully grasp just from reading the word. So today in our passage, we're going to consider the impact of seeing a godly life before us. In this case, we'll be looking at the model of a godly life set by the Apostle Paul for Timothy and how Timothy lived out this model of faith in his life. Paul thus far has given us principles for living that are manifest in the life of a believer. He summarized this obedient life with this phrase, "To live is Christ." These principles tell us that what this obedience will look like in our life. In chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "In every way Christ is preached." In verse 27, "Let our conduct be worthy of the gospel." In verse 28, "Do not be fearful of the adversaries of Christ." In chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, he tells us the church is united through the mindset of humility. And in verses 12 through 16, "We are all to shine like lights in the darkness of this world, as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ." These principles tell us how we should live. It is up to us to correctly put them into practice. But what if we do not know exactly how to apply them in a practical way in our life? If we were able to see someone else be an example of living these principles, we might more easily understand how to do it in our own life. I have on occasion, as you all have, ordered things online. My order would arrive with written instructions tell you how to put it together and how to operate it. Most times, those instructions were unclear and even confusing. I could read the instructions, understand what they said, but not understand how to apply them to what I had ordered. However, when I watched a video showing the assembly in operation, how much more sense those instructions made to me. In a similar way, the Word of God is our instruction manual to live our life. Paul not only taught God's Word, but he modeled it in his own life that those whom he ministered to and ministered with could see God's Word put into action. He was a living example of what our walk of faith should look like. Have you ever spent time with a brother or sister whom God used to reveal to you an area in your life where you may be lacking? Do you have someone in your life who has been an example of godly living? God will place people in our lives to show us what it is to live a godly life, to model a humble life of love and reverence for Him. My dearest and closest friends, David and C.A., have modeled this life for me since before I was saved. I first met them when I began working for them. I had the foulest mouth you could ever imagine. I also had perfected the art of losing my temper and flying into a rage. As my employer, they patiently helped me be a better version of myself by modeling this godly life. When the Lord saved me, they became my mentors. As a new believer studying God's Word, I was able to watch them live out what I was learning. Calm in the face of chaos, peace in the face of trials, trust in the face of uncertainty. Their love for Jesus was manifest in their love for the people who worked for them and sharing the gospel message, helping change their lives. Could we be that example for someone? When Paul met Timothy, he was already well spoken of by those who knew him. Paul saw something in this young disciple and took him under his wing. Timothy began working in the ministry with the Apostle Paul. He was with Paul when the church at Philippi was born. Timothy learned how to live a life of faithful service to God as he listened to Paul's teaching and watched him live out what he taught. Now, 10 years later, Paul says Timothy is the only one who is like-minded with him and was confident in sending him as his representative to the Philippian church. Paul was the example of a faithful servant to Timothy. Now Timothy will be the example as he goes to minister to the Philippians in Paul's place. So our passage begins this morning in verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by the news of you. Paul's plan of sending Timothy to Philippi was anchored by his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was unable to go himself due to his current imprisonment in Rome. He turns to his trusted son in the faith, Timothy, who has been working side by side with him in the ministry. Paul's plan to send Timothy is initiated by seeking the will of the Lord. He does not ask for the Lord's blessing on his own plan, but desires that the Lord's will be his will. This was his common practice. In Romans 1:10, Paul prays, "Somehow by God's will I may come to you." In 1 Corinthians 4:19, he says, "I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills." And again in Acts 18:21, "I will return to you again, God willing." In 1 Corinthians 16:7, he says, "I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits." And finally in Romans 15:32, "that I may come to you with joy by the will of God." Submission to God's will is the beginning of walking in his will. This was the example that Jesus set for us in the garden at Gethsemane when he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." The Apostle Paul recognizes that the kingdom work he does is not his own, but God who works through him. He describes his ministry this way in 1 Corinthians 3:5-7. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to each? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he who plants anything or he who waters, but it is God who gives the increase." Do the plans we make today begin on our drawing board, or do they begin on our knees seeking the will of the Lord? Do we recognize that our life in Christ is not our own, but we belong to God who works through us as we submit to his will? The Lord changed everything in my life when he saved me. Because I was unable to control my anger, I was incapable of having a lasting relationship that might lead to marriage. Neither did I want to have children who would ultimately grow up to be like me. I finally accepted this was beyond my reach, and I gave up on the pursuit of a family. Then the Lord rescued me from this life by sending me Wendy. We did not have plans for a family in the beginning. We were both working successful careers, which would allow us to take care of our parents. It seemed like a very good plan when we made it, but God had other plans for us. My brother started a family Bible study with my parents. I resisted going at first. The next thing I knew, the Lord had saved me and changed my life forever. He then spoke very clearly to me that we would have children and raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We also knew that this meant one of us would remain at home to raise them. The blessing of having a family has far surpassed anything that we would have attained from our careers. The blessing of God's plan always surpasses the goals of our plans. Not only was Paul submissive to the will of God, but he was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 16, Paul's travel plans were twice redirected by the Holy Spirit as Paul responded to his leading. Luke tells us in Acts 16:6-7, "And when they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them." This direction by the Holy Spirit is what led Paul to Philippi on his second missionary journey. The Apostle Paul's submission to the will of God prompted him in a sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is foundational to living a life in the will of God. This was the example he lived out for Timothy. Now, Paul would send Timothy to Philippi to minister to them. He was to report back to Paul the condition of the church there. Paul was confident in the Philippians' faith, expecting to hear a good report from them. Genuine faith looks for the best in people, not the worst. The Apostle Paul alluded to the faithfulness of the Philippian church earlier in verses 12-13. He says, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my present, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Paul is not saying that our works will save us. He is saying that a humble submission and reverence for God is the mindset that leads to a walk in obedience to him. This mindset is an outworking of our salvation, not the cause of it. Is our humble reverence for God apparent in how we live our life? Are we the same person in the public as we are here on Sunday morning? Paul continues in verse 20 and 21, "For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." Paul clearly states that he currently has no one but Timothy who truly thinks like he does. In 1 Timothy 1:2, the Apostle Paul called him my own son in the faith. You know the old adage, like father, like son. Timothy was walking in the footsteps of his spiritual father. I remember working on our home when the kids were very young. We outfitted each of them with a tool belt, tools, and a hard hat. They spent some time every day working alongside of me as we built our house. Like Timothy and Paul, they were learning what I was doing by imitating me. Timothy would have been familiar with the path that the apostle walked and the path that he was set on. Paul's commission to serve the Lord put him in many perils and physical distress, but the burden of the care of the churches was greater for the apostle than these perils. He describes his path this way in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was afloat at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. The apostle's life of working in the ministry was littered with trials, persecution, and suffering. Yet young Timothy was unhindered by this in his own concern for the church. He was so much like the apostle Paul in his faithful walk with the Lord that Paul could send him in his stead. He would be an example to the church both of serving in ministry and of a faithful, godly life. To the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:16 through 17, I urge you then be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Timothy was the next best thing to having the Apostle Paul himself there to minister to them. Paul was confident that he was the one person with him he could entrust the ministry needs of the church at Philippi to. Paul says of all those other saints who were with him in Rome, they were so distracted by their own worldly desires that they were not seeking the will of Jesus Christ for their life. These saints who were fellow workers with Paul were dealing with the same self-seeking struggles that you and I deal with today. The love of the world and the distraction of the things of this world. The Apostle Paul was very familiar with this struggle. He says in 2 Timothy 1:15, "All those in Asia have turned away from me." And again in 2 Timothy 4:10, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world." Timothy had sought the will of the Lord first and foremost in his life. He was Paul's ambassador to the churches. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us that we too are ambassadors for Christ. Are we self-serving, or do we seek to serve our Lord Jesus first? Are we the ambassador for Christ that God has called us to be? As ambassadors, we represent Jesus and his message to the world. Be reconciled to God for the salvation of your souls. I recently spoke with a young lady who was considering the relationship she has with her boyfriend, whether it will work out. They were working through some differences in their faith. She said this, "I want our relationship to work out, and it will be heartbreaking if it does not. But more than that, I want him to be saved." It is the salvation of those people whose lives we can impact that is more important even than what we want for ourselves. This is what it is to be an ambassador for Christ. So let us now take a little closer look at Timothy. "But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel." Paul recognized Timothy's sincere faith from their first meeting. He encouraged the church to acknowledge Timothy's faithful service in Christ. He reminds the church at Philippi that they already know Timothy. He was there when the church was planted and has worked with Paul ever since. In Acts 16, the Apostle Paul meets Timothy for the first time. He saw something in Timothy that prompted him to bring Timothy to minister with him as a co-worker. What was it that he saw in Timothy? First, Timothy made himself available to the Lord to do the work of ministry. Paul asked Timothy to join him and Silas on their missionary journey. He was with the Apostle Paul when he established the church in Philippi. During this time with the Apostle, Timothy ministers with him and is sent to minister to many different churches. He is mentioned in Paul's letters to the Romans, the Corinthians, the Colossians, the Thessalonians, to the letter to Philemon, as well as this letter to the Philippians. In Paul's last letter to Timothy, he is the pastor at the church at Ephesus. Timothy's availability was first to the Lord Jesus. When we make ourselves available to the will of the Lord first, he will use us for the building up of his church for his glory. We see this example in the church at Corinth. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 8:5, "But they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us." Have we given ourselves completely to the Lord first through humble submission and prayer, waiting to hear from him? Or have we moved out with our own plan and asked him to bless it? Second, Timothy was like-minded, thinking and acting like the Apostle Paul. This is the goal of discipleship. The apostle says to the church at Corinth, again, 1 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17, I urge you then be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Jesus said that everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Timothy had become a model disciple just like Paul. To have Timothy come to your church was tantamount to having the Apostle Paul come. Third, Timothy's genuine faith compelled him to sincerely care for the church. It was not lip service, but it was service from the heart. A genuine faith is a faith that does not waver, a commitment to live with a genuine concern for the things of God. It is a steadfast faith, whether we are in public or private. We do not change according to our circumstances, but we are steadfast in every way with our eyes on Jesus. This faith had been modeled for Timothy from his childhood. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says of Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Genuine faith does not happen overnight. It is a faith that has grown more mature every day, trusting the Lord as we endure every trial, find comfort in every tribulation, rejoice in every blessing, and praise the Lord for every single day. Finally, Timothy was a man of humility, setting aside his own will and seeking the will of the Lord. If we are to manifest true humility in our words and actions, we must first have humility of mind. Our entire life in Christ begins with what is in our minds. What we put into our minds is what will naturally be made manifest in our lives. Paul says in Philippians 2, 3 through 5, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This humble mind is available to us, Paul says, when we are in Christ. To be in Christ is to have surrendered our lives to him as Lord and Savior. It is to deny ourselves the things of this world, take up our cross, and follow him. The Apostle Paul shares his own personal surrender to the Lord Jesus in Philippians 3, 8 and 9. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Can we see these traits being manifest in our own life? We are each unique in how God made us and gifted us to serve in his church. When we humble ourselves, submitting to the will of God, he works in us, building up his church for his good pleasure. In 23 and 24, we read, I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. The Apostle Paul was uncertain how much longer he would be incarcerated. His ongoing concern for the church had prompted him to send Timothy in his place until the Lord gave opportunity for him to go and see them personally. As always, his trust was in the Lord. The apostle's love for and oversight of the church was never overshadowed by his circumstance. His faithful trust in the Lord and continual seeking of God's will was the example that he set for Timothy. Young Timothy had become like the Apostle Paul, yet he was also unique in how God had made him and used him. We see an example to follow in Timothy's faith, being available, responding to the Lord's will when he calls, being like-minded with his teacher, that is to have the mind of Christ. Being sincere in our concern for the things of God, and being humble as we set aside our own will and seek the will of Jesus. If you are like me, I look at these examples of these saints set before us in the Word of God, and I think to myself, how can I possibly attain to their level of faithfulness and humility, given my own shortcomings and failures every single day? But I find hope seeing that these men were more like us than we often recognize. It is not that I rejoice in their failures, but I relate to them. I am encouraged as I see the heights of faith they have attained as they persevered through trials, tribulations, even their failures. In Romans 7:15, the Apostle Paul says this of himself, "What I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Can you relate to the Apostle Paul like I do? How about Timothy? I would like to briefly touch on some of his struggles that we might also relate to him. I know I can. In his last letter to Timothy, Paul acknowledges Timothy has genuine faith. Then he goes on to exhort and encourage him in his struggles of faith to not grow complacent. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 through 7, and chapter 4, 2, he encourages him to be steadfast. Do not waver, but continue to be courageous and use your gift in the power that God gives. In 1 verse 8, he says, be courageous. Do not be ashamed of the gospel for fear of persecution. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he encourages Timothy to persevere not in his own strength, but by the grace and strength of God. Continue to endure hardship, being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And in 2 verse 15, he says, be obedient to God's word, be approved by God, continuing to rightly divide the word of truth. Timothy is just like us with his struggles to persevere every day, enduring and not becoming complacent in the faith. Just like Timothy, we need to hear these words of encouragement from each other to help us keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Timothy's model of faith is not a model of perfection. It is a model of the reality of our walk of faith living in a fallen, sinful world. We must fight the good fight of faith every day. This will include patiently enduring our failures and downfalls. But the Lord is faithful to continue to be our strength, which is enough to see us through each day as we fight the good fight of faith. God's grace is sufficient. Let us set our sights on these lofty goals of faith, knowing that God will use our failures and downfalls to grow our faith just as he did in them. Our faith does not stand or fall on perfection. It stands on God's grace, granting us patient perseverance every day until the Lord takes us home. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just gathered here today, Lord, to worship you, Lord, to find our way in a world that is lost. We come here, Lord, to worship the one true and living God, to worship you, to hear your words, Lord, to be prompted by your Spirit, to have our tanks filled up as we go out to face a world that stands opposed to us, that stands opposed to you, Lord. We pray this morning that you would fill us up, Lord. Fill us with the power of your Spirit. Impress your word upon our hearts and our minds. Give us courage, Lord, to share the message of your love and the saving power of the cross as we go out today. We thank you for this time together, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.